Welcome to Leaders and Learners. My name is Tanya McKenzie, and you can find me at the intersection of public relations and leadership. Join us as we talk to organizational leaders, elected officials, experts, authors, artists, and personalities, sharing their stories, talking about how they got to where they are and how they continue to learn and lead the way. So without further ado, let's get into it. Greetings, good people. Welcome to another edition of Leaders and Learners, where we all know that the best leaders are lifetime learners. Something that a lot of people have been learning about lately, a lot about, is podcasting. It is the new preferred media platform. It is how we get our information. It is how we get our entertainment. It is how people get the word out about what they're doing, right? Podcasting is the new storytelling that is reaching global audiences. It's less expensive, more accessible, but there's a lot of people that are still struggling with how they can get on podcasts. So I have today someone that I had to track down and beg her people to let her spend some time with me. We call her the podcast matchmaker. She is the matchmaker. She matches you up with the perfect podcast, especially if you are trying to grow your business, grow your brand awareness. You want people to know who you are, what you're thinking, do business with you, know, like, and trust you. That's a PR thing. And we'll get into that. But I had to beg her to come talk to you people because I know so many of you are still struggling with how to get on podcasts. And she has a new book. So we're going to talk about her book. We're going to talk a little bit about her, getting her business a little bit. I've seen her, you know, in her leisurely way. I've seen her, you know, in her very serious mode. But I see her as the mother and businesswoman, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Y'all, meet my friend, Michelle. How you doing, Michelle?
Oh my gosh, you had to beg me? No. And my people. Yes, I have so many people.
Remember, if you don't tell them. No. It's a thing in the PR world, though. It is a thing. Gatekeepers are a real thing. And we have to learn how to get by gatekeepers to be able to get you all, you people, where you want to go on the platforms that you want to be seen on. So, Michelle, what I want you to do is tell the people a story. Let them know a little bit about you.
Okay, here we go. Once upon a time, because I think all stories should start like that, there was a little girl who was 5 years old, and she took a briefcase to school because she wanted to be an attorney when she grew up. She went all through school, even found a university that had a law major for a bachelor's degree and did all of that. And then she discovered that she needed to make money. So she got a job at the airport. And she got to work with celebrities, amazing athletes, all kinds of people that she could name drop, like Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, Joe Montana. But then she discovered that she wanted something more out of life, something that was going to change the world for the two tiny humans that she brought into the world. Mm-hmm. And that, my friends, is how I landed in the podcasting space. In 2018, I discovered the purple button on my iPhone, allowed me to listen to podcasts, to the stories of other people, to figuring out what my purpose and my passion was. And I fell in love with helping people tell their stories to inspire all of the podcast listeners that are out there.
I love that. So basically, becoming a mom changed your life.
It did. It absolutely did. I found my voice. I figured out that I could say no. And I decided that, you know, this is the time where I need to make the world a better place for them and to leave my mark and to create what we now know as the legacy that we all want to be known for after we move on. But for them to really have something worthwhile, I wanted to make the world a better place for them in the end.
I had no idea that you and I had the same career aspirations. I too wanted to be an attorney. I went to Santa Clara University my junior year in high school, and it was the end all be all. And then life happened and life happened.
Right, right. And that's why I have a master's degree and not a JD.
Girl, same. So listen, talk to us about the podcast Matchmaker. Where did that moniker come from? Who labeled you? Was that part of your own brand that you came up with, or did someone kind of slap that on you and it stuck?
That is all me. I gave myself the moniker, although in real life, I have matched at least two couples who have gotten married. So I can call myself a real life matchmaker. But I found that I have a unique ability, and I don't know how unique it is, because it really comes down to listening to other people and then finding out, what does a podcast host want to do? What's the purpose of their show? What are they looking to do for their listeners? And then working with clients and listening to their story and figuring out not only what do you want to be known for, but what have you been through that we can talk about, and matching the two together. And I say it's unique because not everybody can do it. And yet at the same time, it's not unique, because if we all just stop and listen, we can all do it.
Okay, let's get into this a little bit, because you have shows that have gone viral for an episode or two, but then you also have shows that are consistently good, right? Where do you think podcasters should lie on in the area of journalism? Okay, let's get into the minutia of podcasting, because yeah, everybody thinks they can be a podcaster, but what kind of skills do you need to be a podcaster? What kind of ethics, what kind of standards should a podcaster have? And do you look for those standards when you are placing your clients on different platforms?
This is the big problem with podcasting, is we don't have standards. There are no industry standards per se. That's why we see copy and paste in a pitch. That's why we see podcasters suddenly thinking it's okay to charge a guest to be on a show. And it is not okay. So yes, I definitely look for these standards of, you know, you don't have to be viral. You don't have to have a huge show with a million downloads every month. You need to be consistent. You have to be professional, and you have to know who your target audience is. Who are you trying to reach? Are you doing that, or are your episodes all over the place and nobody really knows what your show is about? So those are the key components. We don't worry about, does the show have a ton of listeners? Are the listeners the ones that we want to reach? Because it's much better to be on a show that has 250 listeners every month, and every single one of those listeners wants to hear from you, versus going on a show with a million listeners every month, and they could care less about what you have to say because that's not what their interest is. So looking at those is a big deal. I think making sure you're professional in how you are showing up, that you are engaging and asking questions to the guest. And this whole idea about charging, I know we're talking, it's been a hot topic. It continues to get hotter. And I receive responses from hosts. Lately, it's becoming ridiculous. It's like an epidemic that it's anywhere from $25 to $10,000. And the $25 is, well, I need to cover my costs. You and I know that $25 is not covering the cost of an episode. First of all, that's just silly. It's like a joke to me. $10,000. So now you're making money off the podcast, and you are making a lot of money, and you apparently don't need to have any other job outside of this podcast. The thing that gets me is that not only are you charging something that I feel you shouldn't charge for. To me, my podcast is my marketing tool. It's a business expense. It's a write-off. I don't charge for it. But the thing is that there's FTC rules. Yes, there's the government that hasn't quite gotten as involved as I guarantee you they will at some point. But you have to say, this show is being brought to you by guest who has paid. You have to say that. There's other little things that people are saying of, yeah, this show was brought to you by Michelle Glogovac. No, it wasn't. It was paid for. And I'm not saying that this one was, because it wasn't. But that's what you need to be saying in order to be in compliance with the FTC, and people aren't. So I foresee some bigger things happening.
I feel like our government is usually behind. I feel like they've been so behind in everything, and social media and technology. They're just dragging their ass on so many different things. So yeah, it'll happen eventually. But at this point, girl, we know so many people that have paid to be on podcasts, and we scream it from the rooftops. If you are paying to be on a podcast, it is not earned media. And that's the other piece of this. Explain to the people why it is important to be on podcasts simply because they have earned the right, like what that looks like.
That's the trust. That is the trust that a podcast host has worked so hard to gain from their listeners. It's now being extended to the guest that is coming on. And if we are paying someone, then that doesn't mean that they're actually the expert, or if somebody's paying us, they're not the expert. They just had the money and the financial well-being in order to be on that show. It doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about in any way, shape, or form. So to be someone who has earned that spot on that show means that you are an expert. You know what you are talking about. You are bringing knowledge and value to the audience. And it's really, really important. On top of that, if you are paying to be on a show, that is an advertisement. Therefore, you can say whatever you want. That is my book. You know, that's what a commercial does for you on TV. If you are paying for that spot, you get to create the commercial that goes along with it. So the same applies in a podcast. You pay for it, you get to say whatever you want, versus you've earned it, and now you have to show up with that knowledge and share it appropriately.
Do you enjoy podcasting?
I love it.
Do you? What's your favorite part of podcasting?
Getting to know other people. I think from the host perspective, I love asking questions that I want to know the answers to. And I just let whatever comes up in my head kind of just come out and say, you know what, if I'm thinking it, someone else listening is also thinking it. And so the best compliment I've ever gotten as a host is when people tell me, you know what, I've heard that guest on other places, including TV, and they've never once been asked that question. And so now I've learned something more. That is the part that I love on the host side. From, you know, the listening side, I'm an eavesdropper. I love hearing what's going on in other people's lives. I love the drama, but I love that you can show up and listen in on a conversation without eavesdropping, like you're supposed to be listening. So that's a gift. But you get to hear the story of what someone's been through. You get to hear how they overcame whatever it is that they've done. You get to hear how they have built a business, or they have, you know, built their career, or written their book, whatever it is. You get to learn those lessons. You can interact with people that you might not ever otherwise meet. You know, you can build empathy and listen to stories of people that are completely outside of, you know, your bubble. That's what I love.
I had a guest once, and she had a book. So her publicist had hit me to interview her because she had this new book. And we had our interview. Girl, it was one of the few podcasts I did not publish. It sounded like she did not know anything about this book that she was selling. I mean, she had nothing to offer this conversation. So I feel like maybe somebody wrote the book and she slapped her name on it, or there was a ghostwriter or something, but it was the most annoying conversation trying to drag information out of someone. I was like, what is going on here? What is some of the more difficult conversations and podcast sessions that you've had?
I find that really unfortunate, first of all. And I would be curious to know if when the publicist pitched you, did she pitch the book or did she pitch the person? Because I find that I get so many publicists pitching their books to me versus pitching the person, because we're not interviewing the books, we're interviewing the person.
100%.
And I think that's a huge problem that we're seeing is, here's my book, here's my product, here's my service. But we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about you, the person. And at the end of every single show, I promise you, it is going to be asked, and where can people find you? It's like literally 99%. That's going to be the final question. And that's when you can plug whatever it is you're plugging. But the interview should be about you and your knowledge and what you know and where you've been. So, you know, that would be first and foremost what I think is probably wrong. It starts with the pitch, and the pitch is going to set the tone for what the interview is going to be like. The hardest part is when someone doesn't show up and is willing to give of themselves to have a conversation that could go deep. It could bring tears. I love it when I have a podcast that brings someone to tears, myself included, because it means that we're being human. We're showing up, we're being ourselves, and we're really giving of ourselves, which I think is what makes podcasting beautiful when people do that and they don't hold back. They aren't afraid to, you know, show their emotions or show what has happened to them. And I know that not everybody can do that. We're not all comfortable with that. There are issues that might not have been dealt with. And so those are things that you shouldn't talk about. If you're not ready to talk about them, don't pitch yourself on them. But for all of the things that you can speak on, you should be speaking on them freely and showing up freely in that manner in order to make it easy on both sides.
What are some of the topics that you covered in your book? Let the people know.
Everything. So there, I gave it all away. Okay. So there are no secrets. I cover everything from how to create your unique speaking topics, all the different categories that you can pull from, the questions that you should ask yourself, how to create a branded media kit and what goes into that with templates as well, how to research podcasts, where do you research, what should you be looking for when you research them, how to craft your pitch, how to personalize it, how you should be doing homework around all of the shows that you pitch to before you pitch to them. And then even after you get the interview, you listen to the show, you stalk the host some more, you know, find out something personal about them so that you don't need to show up with jitters and nerves because you know that there's something you can speak to them about even outside of what your topic is. How to follow up on a podcast, how to show up as a good guest, relieve the nerves, you know, show up properly with lighting and make sure that everything works technology wise. And then how do you repurpose all of that content into greater marketing content so that you can grow your brand and elevate yourself as a thought leader? So it's literally everything.
So you definitely get into the PR of the process.
Yes. Yeah.
Has that been part the toughest part of what people receive? Because I'm learning. I've done a few cohorts myself, and I'm learning that even understanding what a brand is difficult for people because they're under the guise that it's this cliche thing that has been out there, this word that has been out there in the world for so long. They don't really understand what it is and the process of public relations, and they start understanding that it's very time consuming. It's not immediate gratification. And even getting them to share their wins, which is the placement, that is something that just kind of blows their mind sometimes for people that, you know, when they come to us, they don't really understand the minutiae of everything we do. So is it difficult for you to nail down on some of these more intrinsic topics and lessons for your clients?
The hardest part for me writing the book, the hardest part was the first chapter on how do you define your speaking topics? Because I naturally will speak to someone and hear their story and go, oh, that's what you should talk about. Oh, that's really interesting. Oh, I want to learn more. Whereas even for myself, you have to get out of your own way and stop saying I'm not unique. Like my story is, everybody's been through this. Other people have done it. What makes me so special about it? That's the hardest part, first and foremost. And then I've gotten feedback. I had a reader send me a DM going, I didn't realize there's going to be so much homework and that this was going to take time. And I went, yeah, that's normally why people pay me to do what I do, is because it takes time and effort. And that's because that's the right way to do it. The wrong way is copying and pasting something very generic and saying, hey, my book came out. Can you interview me?
And paying someone to be on their podcast.
Right. So those are the hardest parts. when working with clients, yeah, it still feels like it's pulling teeth to get them to share episodes. And that's a big part of the book too, is that it doesn't have to feel like self-promotion or like you're being salesy or look at me. I take it from the perspective of you need to thank your host. And to thank your host, you're not doing it in your Instagram stories for 24 hours and being lazy. You are creating a blog post. You are creating a post in your feed that will live forever. You are putting it on a Spotify playlist. You are putting it in all the places that you show up, tagging that host to say thank you. And that's first and foremost why you do it. Then the next step is to create more content out of all of the quotes that you're doing. So we pull a transcript for every client. We identify at least three quotes that they have said in an interview and say, go make this into a graphic. Then it's, well, are they going to make the graphic? So we've now started making the graphics for them and plugging in the quotes from the interviews so that they can promote it that way too. Because it's not only thanking the host, but it's letting your audience know where you've been. You don't know who is watching you. Who is that silent person that needs that one next boost to say, you know what? Yeah, I want to work with this individual. I want to buy their product. I want to buy their book. And if they now have an opportunity to listen to you, have a conversation about what you know with someone else, and you let them know that they can go listen to this, then that could be the thing that tips them over the edge. It says, yes, sign me up. I want to be a part of your world more than simply, you know, stalking you on your Instagram. Now I can actually work with you because I heard your voice. I heard your knowledge. I got it. And it was because you shared where you've been.
What was the hardest part for you in completing the book? Because one thing I know for sure, working with authors, getting the process started, you have so much excitement about it, but like midway through and then the end and there's the editing and then there's the layout and then all the things, it gets a little complicated. What was the hardest part for you after you started writing the book to complete?
Mine was a weird journey because I'm with McGraw-Hill and they closed their business department down in December. My book came out in January. So that closing started in June and I lost my first editor. So she went to the wayside. And then 2 weeks later, my agent actually quit to take a job as an editor at a different publishing company. So it wasn't like a normal, this is the flow, these are the people you work with. It was very choppy. And then my pub date changed 5 times. So I didn't really know what was going to happen. And then in the midst of writing the book, I had a pulmonary embolism and was in the hospital for 5 days and then on oxygen at home for 30 days. So that paused the writing for a while. And you know, you come back from that and go, oh, you know what? I really need to finish this book because if something like this were to happen again, then it's not going to finish. So that was like the big push of hurry up and finish this. And then it was really learning to, I'm very type A, you know, I like my organization. I like deadlines. And for something to keep changing and not knowing that this change is coming, you know, you get this email from a friend who said, I pre-ordered your book, but Amazon just sent me a message that it's coming now later. Wait, now it's coming sooner. Wait, now it's coming a different day. And it just kept changing. And so my marketing plan had to keep changing. And I had to learn to adapt and just go with the flow and stop worrying so much. And I don't want to say stop caring because you can't stop caring, but you kind of just had to let it flow.
So when you're not authoring and podcasting and podcast matchmaking, what are you doing, Michelle?
Momming, going to soccer dates, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, campaigning, as you know, for whoever might be running to ensure that it's a better world for my kids, you know, outside of the things that I can do for them. All of those things.
Which one takes more time?
We're in the midst of soccer season. So that's three nights a week plus all day Saturday. So that takes the most time right now. And then next would probably be scouts because that's a few times a month with the two combined.
What does your downtime look like?
reading, lots of reading. But of course, that's more work for the podcast and for my clients. But downtime is definitely simply reading and a glass of wine.
My girl, my girl. Hey, let me ask you, are you still involved with Moms Demand?
I am, not to the biggest extent that I was, because with the pulmonary embolism came a lot of me saying, I need to sit on my hands more and not do as much. But yes, I'm still getting all the emails. I've written postcards and I'm always on Twitter letting people know what I think.
Let me ask you, what made you get involved with an organization like that? And what other community service, civic engagement are you involved in?
A good part was you. Let's be honest. I read your book and interviewed you and was like, let's be friends. And what can I do? You know, you have kids in school and safety is a huge thing. And to know that they go through a drill every month in case there's an active shooter on campus is frightening. It's beyond frightening. And anything that I can do to ensure that they're safe and that we don't have to go through this in real life, you know, not just a drill, but for this to happen, I want to make sure that I do all I can to protect them and to protect all of the children in America, and to help educate people who don't feel the same way of, you know, it's not about having a right to own a gun. It's about having standards, again, that there are red flag laws, that if you have a, you know, restraining order, that you can't go out and buy a gun immediately. It's those simple things. It's not saying you can't have a gun and be a responsible gun owner. It is saying you have to do it in the right way, and that we need to make sure that you are in a mental state that it is okay for you to own one. It's those, truly, to me, it's simple things, that you don't need an automatic weapon to go shoot a deer. So why do we need to sell those types of things? And that to me is really, you know, what is most important. And other civic duties, I love our local council, our mayor. I've been very involved in campaigning for him the first go around. And then we changed here in San Jose our term limits with the mayor's office, because so that it would align with the presidential election. So after 2 years, he had to run again. And so he was just elected again. So we get 4 years coming up for that. But I tried to be as active as I could in that as well.
Where are you from?
Paradise. So yeah, that would be another one with the campfire. I lost my childhood home where my mom was still living, and she has rebuilt. But you know, I speak out also against PG&E and the fact that they are continuing to raise their rates. Being here in San Jose, we see all of their marketing. I get their ads on Spotify. I was at a San Jose Sharks game 2 weeks ago and they sponsored it, and they got a lot of boos because I hear music. Do you hear music? Okay. Something's in my ear doing music right now, and I'm not sure what that is.
I wish.
I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Hearing this to-do list in my head as you're talking, you know.
And it's music that I don't even know. So I'm sorry. This is odd. So AirPods. Yeah. But so everybody booed during this game because they're spending money that we're all having to pay, and it's not okay. They're not doing anything to fix it.
That is crazy. How much has San Jose changed in the last 10 years?
Oh, a lot. And it continues to change. We're growing leaps and bounds, but in growing as a city, we are also growing in our homeless population, which is an absolute shame. We don't have, you know, the mental health hospitals that we need. We don't have the addiction facilities that we need. So all of these things, they have to be dealt with. And we're seeing them simply grow. And our mayor's doing an amazing job in trying to combat that and get mental health facilities and to get addiction facilities, you know, up and running, and tiny homes, and giving placement to these people, as well as giving them jobs within the city to help them. But it continues to grow, and in spaces that the city can't control, like the water district has property along the river, and we have a homeless population that is all gathering around the river, but the city can't come on it because they don't own the property. So it's just it's a catch 22. It's a big mess. You're muted.
So it's a lot going on. You do a lot. I love your podcast. Tell the people what is the premise of your podcast and why you chose what you chose.
The premise of my simplified life is that your past and your present don't define your future. You do. And the reason that I went with that is because we all have a pivot in our lives. We all get to make a choice. I was for 18 years in a career where I sold jet fuel to corporate flight departments. And I decided I wanted to do something else. I wanted to do something more. And so everybody that I have on the show, we discuss what it is that they've gone through, what pivots did they have, you know, what brought them to where they are today, in the hopes that someone who's listening knows that they can make a change so that their tomorrow is what they want it to be. I interview authors and business owners and experts. And then I also do solo episodes where I will give my soapbox rant, just like I did today, on things that are happening, of being a mom, of dealing with the world today and my thoughts on it. And whether it's right or wrong, this is what I think and what I feel. And in those solo episodes, I'm very open with, this is what I say is as much for me as it is for you. So if it's a pep talk for you, it was really one for me that I needed.
You're so selfless. I love it.
I'm honest. I'm selfish when it comes to podcasting. I am very selfish.
Let me ask you something as a mom, totally off topic. I think racism is taught. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, this year, a combination of, you know, the whole the gun rights stuff, seeing people supporting MAGA and coming back around to supporting Trump, and seeing that on school property by parents, and then seeing the children believe it too. Yes, I believe that it is taught. And we pass down. This is the problem. We are passing things down to our children, right or wrong, whatever it is. But this is what perpetuates the world that we live in. I've seen a child at school wearing a Lions Not Sheep sweatshirt all the time. And but I mean, you're buying a shirt that other people are buying, so it kind of makes you a sheep too. But that's another topic.
Right. For a different day. Sometimes though, I think I'm like, maybe it's because we're from the Bay Area. We're drinking some different water. I don't know.
I come from a small town. I come mm-hmm. from a town where there was maybe two families that were not white. And when the first Black family moved in, they had crosses burned on their front lawn. And I was astonished. I didn't know that this was happening in my hometown. And I knew the family. I still know the family to this day. We talk, the son and I talk, and I couldn't believe that they stayed. And I give them so much credit for staying. And yet it hurts my heart so much that anybody would have to go through this. And then to make that choice of, you know what, even though we know that we're not wanted here, we're going to stay. And how just disgusting it is that people believe this based on your skin color. I don't understand it. I will never understand it. I don't want to understand it.
Then there's that. Listen, so when I was younger and the whole thing happened in Waco, Texas, that was David Koresh, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I didn't understand how that could have happened. So I was like, what is wrong with those people? Like, is there something in the water that makes their mind not work right? I couldn't process that. So what you're saying and how you feel about what happened in Paris, it just sounds like paradise. I'm sorry. You couldn't process that. Like, you couldn't make it make sense.
Yeah. I can't fathom it. Like, because I could never imagine doing that to anybody, whether I like them or not. I can't imagine having so much hatred for someone else to go to that extent. I don't understand it. And I, you know, whether that's how we're raised or simply the people that we are, I can't fathom it.
So I did a post today about something that triggers me about MAGA. It makes it feel very cultish. And I know there are people that might take offense to this, but it resonates because we all are a culmination of our experiences. So I strongly remember the feeling of when I heard about the Waco, Texas standoff. And I started reading more and watching more because I wanted to be an attorney. So I'm like a true crime junkie. So I'm all into it. But every time I hear about some craziness, especially January 6th, I get triggered to that back then because I'm still so blown away. Like, how do we get so far removed from truth and morals and ethics? I just don't know how we get to a place to, one, where we're leading people into darkness or death, and then two, into division and racism and hatred. How do you consciously move people in that direction? That is crazy for me. And as a mom, I want to get your take on that, because that is the scariest piece for me is, as a mother, how do you make sure that you are combating it? Because I do think our job is to leave this world better than we got it. And at the same time, teach them to not ever, we're not doing that.
I think part of the problem, and I did something on social media not too long ago. I made a comment and I didn't realize the comment that I made. And then I went, oh, that was really good. Is that we're looking at the microscopic good in a person. That Donald Trump may have done something teeny, tiny, tiny good at one point in his life. I saw somebody say the other day, oh, he donated his presidential salary to charity while he was in office. And isn't that amazing? Well, does that tiny part of goodness override all of the negative and the bad? And in my opinion, no, it does not override all of the bad and the negative. And we need to stop looking at the microscopic good and magnifying it to being something much greater than it actually is. I think that's first and foremost the problem. I have always raised my children, they're now 8 and 9, ever since they were babies, we have had open conversations. George Floyd happened while my son was not even in kindergarten yet. I think that's about right, the timing. And he is a news junkie. He is, ever since he was 3 years old and could turn on the TV, he's watching the 6 a.m. news. And he woke up one day and he said, Mommy, what did that man do that my buddy killed him? And so we had the conversation, not even in kindergarten, of, you know what, the man did nothing. And unfortunately, not all of your buddies are good people. And that goes across the board. You know, not every teacher is a good teacher. Not every officer is a good officer. And yet, you know what? That doesn't speak for the entire population of teachers or officers or whatever we're talking about. And so we need to know that there's good people and bad people, but that Black man, George Floyd, did nothing wrong. He did not deserve the treatment that he got. And so that is what my son went into kindergarten knowing. And that we have to protect everybody. This was a lesson that we learned before we went onto the playground, that you stand up for other people. You make sure that you use your voice because you were given a voice to protect other people. So when you see something bad happening, you call it out. You tell that person, you tell an adult, and you make it better for that person because your job is to protect other people too. And I think as a mother, that's what we have to do. And if we all collectively did that, if we protected one another, then we wouldn't have the world that we're living in today.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you for saying that. As a podcaster, an author now, and a mama, how do you feel about these books being banned? Like, I'm just so confused because I didn't grow up, we didn't grow up like that. Our early teachings was that book banning is not what we do here in the United States, period. Yeah. And now it's a thing. It's a norm, which is crazy from a party that has always talked about smaller government. But as a mom and an author especially, how you feel about that?
It's disgusting. But it goes right in line with everything else they're trying to ban. of, you know, we have people who believe that their Christian rights, and I am a Christian, but they believe that their Christian rights, religions, beliefs are what everyone else should be associated with and abiding by, while we live in a country that is based on freedom and the ability to have your Christian rights, to have your Muslim rights, to have whatever rights and religion and beliefs that you want. And yet we have this group of people who feel that they can dictate what we do with what we read, what we watch, what we do to our bodies. It's absolutely baffling. And I realize I'm smiling as I'm saying this because I think it's so incredibly nuts. It's crazy. You know, to want a band To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, are you kidding me? This was my favorite book. It is my favorite movie, you know, the attorney angle, right? And people standing up for one another and a father showing his children that this is who you stand up for and this is right from wrong. And you want to ban that? It makes no sense. And again, it's baffling. But and I think what's even more baffling is not only the people, but specifically the women. I am blown away by mothers who are doing this, by women who are MAGA related, who feel that this microscopic good of whatever he has done at one point is okay for the way he treats women, for the sexual assaults, for all of the things that he does and stands for. Somehow that's okay as a woman. That I guess you would be okay if he said to your daughter that he was going to, you know what he wants to do.
Yeah.
No, as a woman and a mother, no, where are we? Where are we?
Yeah, I feel you. Do me a favor and show the people your beautiful book, because it is gorgeous, by the way. And it goes with her brand. So when you do go to her website, which I hope y'all do, everything she touches is very cohesive. That's what I love about you. You just pull it all together so well. I love it.
They're my favorite colors. So, you know, blue and gold.
I love it. I appreciate you for being here. Let the people know how they can get in touch with you, continue to follow your journey, follow your podcast, where they can listen to it at, and how they can get their hands on the book.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I love talking to you. We need to do this more often. You can find me, the agency website is themlgcollective.com. My personal website is michelleglogovac.com. I'm on all the social media platforms, probably most active on Instagram at Michelle Glogovac. My Simplified Life can be heard wherever you listen to podcasts, and How to Get on Podcasts is out everywhere. There is a hardcover book, a Kindle version, and if you like listening to me, I will even read to you the audiobook. So those are all the places.
Hey, do yourself a favor. Get your hands on this book and stay connected to Michelle. She's always dropping some gems, but more than anything, I love that she drops nuggets that just make the day that much better. She's just kind of a bright piece in a gloomy world we tend to live in sometimes. So running across one of her posts or something she's doing, or, you know, I'll put her podcast on sometimes in the background and just be like, well, goddamn it, I feel better today. I don't even know.
Thank you.
You know, when you just, you like, you come out of a fog sometimes and you're like, well, maybe the coffee kicked in. I'm like, nope, it was Michelle.
Michelle just got her soapbox. That's all.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you're like a busy mom on a soapbox sometimes. You hear people that say stuff that make you think, oh, I guess I'm not crazy.
You are not.
Maybe I'm not crazy. So listening to her kind of justifies some of the crazy thoughts in my mind. I don't know. I appreciate you, though. I thank you for being here.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, and we definitely have to do it again. So thank you so much. Best of luck with everything that you're doing. And keep us posted on how we can support you here at Leaders and Learners and, you know, in the real world. If you need me to come out to the
day,
let's do it.
I'm still waiting. Come on.
I know. All right, guys. Thank you for being here. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for showing up to the podcast where we all know that the best leaders are lifetime learners. When you get a sec, take a moment, leave a comment. what you think about today's episode and share it with someone that you know could use the gems that were dropped today. Follow and subscribe. You don't want to miss who's coming up next. You never know who could show up here and what they could say. For your professional needs, marketing, PR, communications, and leadership, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Sand and Shores or hit us up at sandandshores.com. Again, thanks so much for showing up. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon.